Welcome. Hey, everybody. This is Lenny Sanchez. I'm back here again. I think this is episode 9 or 10 or something like that, whatever it is. Anyways, I thought I'd do another little introduction. I got some great feedback from the last one where I kind of had a little bit of a little introduction, if you will, on the guest and what this episode is about. So I guess I'll start out. So this time around, I brought in a friend of mine, came in from San Antonio, named Brian Kurth. I've known Brian since 2002, somewhere around there. And we both worked together in construction and sort of the software and procurement side. And so he came one time to the job site, and we met, and we hit it off. We're good friends, and just casual bullshitters. You know how it is. Similar souls with great views on life and a wealth of knowledge that we can share. So, anyways, we'd talked about getting together, and so finally we're able to get his schedule aligned so he can come over to the home studio, the studio of the Sanchez, and we were able to record a pretty cool podcast. It was good. In this episode we talk a lot about so Brian and I kind of in a similar story. He's a little bit older than me, but kind of in a similar story where, you know, we have one child, a girl, a wife that's smarter than us, which has its pros and cons. Let's see what else we have in common. We're both overweight. You know, we've struggled with our weight. That's always a thing. And Brian's he is a very, very sharp and quick person when it comes to the comedy. So anyways, in this episode I think we're talking a lot about just a bunch of useless nonsense, raising kids and dealing with breakdowns and just having wives that have a much better resource or knowledge set to deal with when kids are going through tantrums and whatnot. So talk a lot about that and some other useless nonsense, but anyways, so that's what this episode is about. You got to forgive me. This episode is a week late coming out. That's on me. I got a little too drunk last weekend and didn't have the energy to even record or hear my own voice. So, what can I say? That's life. Anyways, I'll shut up now. I'll let Brian do his thing and we'll kick it off. But thanks a lot. Here we go. All right, we're going. Hello, Brian. How are you? Are we using your real name?
Or do Brian's fine.
Brian's fine. Brian Schlesgaffermuffgerner.
Yeah.
How's it going,
Dutch?
It's like the pancakes.
Nice.
Yeah. How's it going, man?
It's great.
How do you like in my studio here at Casa de Sanchez?
Oh, it's lovely. Lovely. Love the decor. Yeah. It's nice.
There's a lot of music. There's a lot of Beatles. Yeah. I have a lot of Beatles fans. A lot of Beatles memorabilia. That's an actual autographed. Numbered
by one of the Beatles or by somebody
all
else?
All four of them. It is a authentic autographed.
Wow, that's quite the collector's item.
The Beatles Bible down there. That is a this is a riveting conversation, by the way.
Nice. So, is this what we're going to talk about? Just your what's in your room?
So I have mauve colored walls.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Various instruments hanging on the wall. No, I mean, you know, so to be honest, Brian, we can really kind of talk about anything. So I'll give you a rundown. Season 2, I had a vault episode where I talked about spring break in college and the shenanigans that were involved with that. And then last episode after that, talked a little about NCAA. And then I forgot what else. It was pointless with Tony. And then the last week we talked about more football and getting old. So, and just today, I went to the doctor thinking I had a hernia, which I did not. And I thought either that or a appendicitis or something because my stomach was hurting. But apparently it was just because I've been working out so much and shredding my abs that I pulled a muscle. So
that's what Swold felt like.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get closer to that mic.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So it's gonna get all up in your face.
Yeah.
So all right. So is this the first time you've been on the radio or any kind of broadcast?
Yeah, that I can recall.
It's fun stuff. It is fun stuff. So basically, yeah. Right now, I guess. So I've got some questions we can start talking. If you want to just go right into it, or is there anything on your mind you want to get off your chest?
Nothing in particular.
All right. Well, let's go with my prepared questions. So actually, you know what, Amy wanted me to ask you. She goes, you know, great question, fantastic question, and everybody wants to talk about it. Is what's the worst fight you've ever gotten into with your wife?
That's a good question. You know, my wife and I don't really fight all that much.
So, you know what? Actually, let's back it up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about how we met, because again, everybody assumes we know each other now. So you and I met in 2001. We both worked for the same construction company. You came, I was working in Ohio, and you came to train us on the new procurement software. And
yeah, right. It's a blind leading the blind.
Yeah. So you came to train us. And I think we spent more time smoking outside on smoke breaks than we did inside on the software.
That's possible.
Yeah, I
highly
think.
Highly possible.
Yeah, so we met each other at work in 2001-ish, around there. And we've pretty much been friends ever since. You've changed jobs a couple times. I changed jobs. You're back with the original construction company. I've moved on, but we've kept in touch. Kind of like each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
You kind of bitch about work a lot.
Yeah. That's not really that entertaining to talk about.
It's
how much we don't enjoy aspects of our work.
So I got a new job, which I absolutely love because I'm no longer doing procurement. But that being said, the corporate world, I'll tell you what. Didn't you have a family member that was like a test driver?
So my brother worked for a tire company as a, I guess you'd call it a tuner. So his job was really to fit tires to cars. So right out of the bat, you know, he was working at a test track out in West Texas. So
yeah, so he was basically driving cars, figuring out which tires go best on that car
first,
at the right price point.
Well, not so much at the right price point, but it's, you know, fitting tires to vehicles. So car manufacturer will send a car and say, put a tire on this vehicle. So his first job was to come to San Antonio, pick up a super bike and do laps at, you know, 160 miles an hour. And then they did away with that program and he put him in a Ford Taurus,
you know,
for the next 10 months. the glamour died.
I was trying to remember with a friend of mine, what was that two-door 90s model Ford? It was obviously less than a Mustang, or like not as cool as a Mustang, but better than a Fiesta.
Like an Escort?
Oh, was it the Escort? It was kind of sloped back. But that's what I'm envisioning. Him like picking up some, like, you know, four-cylinder, 85 horsepower car. And like, all right, take this out on the track and see what you can
do.
That
sounds like everything I drive like on a regular basis.
Oh, so all right. So I do want to talk about this because one of the things, I'm glad I got into this. So one of the things that fascinates me about you is your ability to be content with finding the least expensive car that'll get you from A to B, right?
Yes.
Like, what's your sweet? You told me the sweet spot's like $3,000.
Yeah. I mean, whatever I could pay cash for.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've blown all that up recently.
Oh, okay.
But I just sold my 2006 Scion with with 230,000 miles on it.
Practically brand new.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a Scion. It's just a Toyota.
Like, there's something wrong with it. You can hear it grinding. It's got belt noise. It's,
so I remember I drove my Jeep till the wheels fell off, and I remember my power steering pump was just like on its last impeller. Like, I would turn the wheel and it would grind. I could hear the, and I remember that.
That was a bad car. Like when they made it, right? That was that Liberty.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, that was horrible.
But you know what? It lasted me 10 years, and
I remember the yellow Mustang.
That's when
I met you.
With
the matching yellow striped tires.
Yeah, so when you did burnouts, it would leave yellow stripes, and they're like, "Ooh, what kind of car? That's a badass car. There's some guy there." Most people don't keep cars more than 3 or 4 years nowadays. And when you say like, yeah, I got 150,000 miles on my car, people that just shit their pants in America. Like, this is a first world. We don't have, we get rid of cars at 75,000 miles.
I average about 15 years.
When, do you when really?
My car, yeah, most of my vehicles. You so I just got rid of the 06. I had 13 years on that.
How many miles again?
220.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any like breakdown or stranded in the middle of nowhere?
Not once.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Everybody was like, oh, you want to be careful and you have the car seat. You don't want to be stuck. I'm like, it's not like, you know, it's not like the wheels are literally falling off. I mean, it's a 2006. Like, it's not that old.
And a new car costs you, what, 40, 50 grand?
Yeah. I haven't bought a new car in years. I have all my, since 2011, all my cars have been used. Hmm. But that being said, it's only been 8 years. So, yeah, riveting. Yeah. All right, so let's get back in. All right, so what else are we going to talk about? All right, so we got, so you don't remember the biggest argument you've ever gotten with your wife?
I really don't. We really don't fight all that much.
So your wife is...
I'm pretty sure it had something to do with me not being somewhere where I was supposed to be. It's usually, you know, have you left work yet? I haven't. It's that extra hour here and there.
So, and your wife has a graduate degree? She's pretty smart.
She's really smart, yeah. She has a master's degree.
Yeah, so you and I are both in the same shoes where, like, I guess on paper our wives are smarter than us. And I say on paper.
I'm not even in the league. So, I mean, it took me 15 years to get through college.
Yeah, but I'm just talking, like, just normal. But you've got good street smarts, but, like, just normally. Like I got to deal with the fact that my wife is pretty smart. And there's a lot of times when we start getting into arguments where I realize very quickly, like, there's no winning this one. Like, this is one where you just want to, like, pretend to fall asleep or something or pass out.
Yeah, I just don't pay that close of attention to get that deep into a fight.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, me neither, obviously.
Yeah, don't give it any energy.
I don't know. Lately, I've been getting a little more testy. We've both been getting a little testy with each other. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But we were in line at some order up restaurant, and we were looking at menus, and she was holding Emma, and I was like, "Well, here's a menu," and she said, "Well, hold it for me." I'm like, "Well, I just got annoyed," but I don't know. Maybe it's boredom. I don't know. Lately, I find myself like with a little bit less patience than I used to have.
Just agitated.
Yeah, and you know, it comes with age. That was another question I was going to ask. Like, you know, and I want to get one of these podcasts where we're just constantly bitching about how old we are. But like, there is a lot more where I just don't have a lot of energy anymore. Like, I was like, fucking whatever. Like, this, fine. This might as well happen. You know, I talked about it on one before. I had my first physical after 40, and you know, I got that thing, and that was just, I wasn't.
What's such a milestone about 40 in a physical?
Prostate exam.
I thought that was after 50.
Did he lie to me?
He might want it just to have done it.
Right? Well, maybe just to charge me for it. Well, cancer runs in my family. I was like, I check all
prostate
that.
Cancer?
No, but aren't they all related?
Oral cancer?
again,
all of them?
Again, maybe I'll just ask your wife.
Yeah.
You know what? Might as well save that one. We'll table that one for the missus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. I got my first pill sorter at like 40 something. So that was the first milestone.
Pills. Well, this way it's got S for Sunday, then yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm halfway through the week and I still have half the stuff I should have taken. It's going nowhere.
Like, oh shit, there's still some left in there.
That would, I think, was important.
What was that one for? I can't remember. The honey was a small one for Oh man. So let's see, what else did I write down? Yeah. So let me ask you another. So what do your typical weekends look like? You've got a daughter that's in junior high, so you got a couple years ahead of me. 8 years ahead of me on the daughter side. Oh man, we can talk about IVF, because did you guys at IVF?
Yeah, we sure did.
It's a very common thing nowadays.
Is it?
Oh, man, like, a lot of people I know are going through IVF. Really? Or have had their kids. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I hope they've gotten better than when we... Well, actually, I can't complain. I mean, we had a good result, but...
Yeah, but the man, the cost is so high. Like, that cost is still
really high. Yeah, I know. I remind our daughter of it all the time. Like, you need to do something pretty amazing in your life because you were pretty expensive coming into this world.
So just getting you, just getting the heartbeat costs us.
Oh, fine arts. That's what you want to do.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, the last guy, my buddy Paul, was talking to his son. Like, his son's getting ready to go to college. And he's like, yeah, I want to be a coach. And I want to go to a D1 university. Well, you know, it's... Let's talk about that, because you can pretty much get a, you know, an education as a coach for any school, and it will save daddy a lot of money.
Well, that's, yeah. Yeah, I don't even think about, you know, 6 years from now when my daughter's going to college, but he's absolutely spot on. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of degrees that...
He was telling us, like, you know, we are short on welders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? We really are. We can definitely use more welders in this world.
Maybe we need to go back to the way our parents did it, you know, going to junior college and then going to university from junior college.
I guess, but what does that save you if you go to
quite
JUCO?
A bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
I haven't priced it out yet. I haven't really priced it all out. So I treat my finances kind of like I treat my health. Like, the less I look at it, the better I feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's denial.
Yeah, denial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'll never make the math work, so what's the point in looking at it? So I'm sorry, we digressed from IVF.
Oh, yeah. So where are we going with IVF? I forgot. I get scatter-minded. Yeah, I mean, the IVF thing. So, yeah, I mean, so for us, I remember the emotional ups and downs of the transfers and all of that, and then we got lucky with Emma, but, like...
So...
Did you guys ever want to have another kid, or you were like, nope, that's enough?
I just straight up couldn't afford it. I mean, that really was the reality for us, is that, and maybe a little backstory on what in vitro is that, you know, my wife went through the series of shots that kind of stimulate her ovaries to produce a bunch of eggs, and then they harvest those eggs, the egg retrieval process, and that's really where the money is.
Yeah.
And also the emotional swings that go with, you know, having your wife hopped up on hormone medication. It's painful and it's expensive.
Yeah,
and
then, it's the emotional part is crazy.
Right, so for me, we did the ICSI process. I'm not sure if that was what y'all went through. So
what's ICSI?
ICSI is when they actually take the sperm and inject it into the egg.
What do they normally do? What do they do now?
I think sometimes they just kind of let it marinate. I don't know what they do now.
Hey, put them in a bar together.
Yeah.
And give them drinks. they play Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
No, I think that's what they did. I don't even know. But I do know that, like, it was emotional as hell doing the transfers. Like, it took a lot on Amy. It took a lot to get, you know, like, it was just, Amy's a lightweight when it comes to all the drugs and everything else. And then, so her recovery time from anesthesia just alone is bad. And then doing the transfers and everything else, besides being costly, it was pretty traumatic. And, you know, when we got done doing it for Emma and it worked, we did four transfers.
I think we were about in the same boat. So we did one retrieval and Corey was a good egg producer, so we had a lot of
blastocysts. Yeah,
we didn't get that many to the blastocyst stage, right? So they do. I think that's 6 days.
Yeah.
So basically, they'll take the eggs out. You know, they'll fertilize those embryos, and then they'll do like a fresh transfer with the pick of the litter.
Yeah,
and then
that's right.
We did two at a time. I'm not sure if y'all did the same.
Oh yeah.
And then they wait for the others to get to the blastocyst.
Yeah, they freeze them.
And then they freeze them from there.
Yeah. Was your daughter from a frozen embryo? Or
she was. So we had failed and miscarried the first three transfers.
Yeah, wow.
And so she was the last. She was the last embryo. And we had two, right? Two at the last one. And
then, man, that's the same thing that happened with Emma. We were down to two. They did four? Well, we did... We did several withdrawal or extractions, whatever. But we did the second to last transfer. We did four, and the doctor was like, "I don't ever recommend going more than two. Do you want to do three?" And we're like, "Sure." He's like, "How about four?" And I think we did four, And then we were only left with, we had two left frozen, and Emma was one of the frozen ones. And they wanted to get like a lot of records down because apparently the frozen embryos are very rare, or much more rare than, or much less common than the fresh ones. So yeah, exact same thing. We're down to the last two blastocysts, and Emma was one of them. And I remember after all of that, so what got me nervous was Amy wanted to go, like, she was nervous because she was, you know, she's a lot older than me, you know, obviously. And so she was oh, she doesn't listen to this. Yeah. So of the 37 listeners, she's not one of them. So no, she wanted, she, you know, she was, you know, her biological clock was ticking like this, whatever Marissa told me from My Cousin Vinny. Anyways, so she wanted to get it like going. And I was nervous because I'm like, you know, babe, that's like the last, that's the Hail Mary. There is no other, like, it's after that, it's adoption, right? Like if that doesn't, like there had to be some in between steps. Like there had to be like the turkey baser one. We tried that. And like, and it also, like, I'm not gonna lie, I had issues with my sperm, right? Like, not only am I physically fat and lazy, apparently my sperm was too.
Yeah.
So, and which, you know,
it's tough on the self-esteem, right?
Fucking doctors.
What do you mean? There's like millions of them, man. Telling me none of them are any good.
And I was like, you know, these fucking doctors, like, I know statistics really well. Like, he's like, you only have 2 million. I'm like, well, 2 million still seems like a lot. It just takes one. Yeah, but they don't look very good. I'm like, well, do they have to look good? They don't move real fast. I'm like, you know, now you're just starting to, now you're nitpicking, doc. Now you're real. And the thing I was telling somebody else, like, when you're fat and you're fat your entire life like me, like, everything revolves around your weight. Like, you go to the doctor and, like, you know, hey, doc, my knee hurts. Like, well, you know, it is holding up, you know, 300 pounds. So, I mean, you might want to think about, and and that's understandable. But then it got to the point where I was, like, in my ENT. And my ENT was talking about my weight. I'm like, fucking doctor, like, ear, nose, and throat. Like, you know, stop looking at my waistline. He's like, well, you know, you're snoring because you're fat. And
it's like, I cut my hand. I need stitches.
You're probably cutting some cheese and charcuterie. You're probably making a nice charcuterie plate, aren't you, Fatty? Aw.
And like, no, I mean, that's definitely an issue. And I think most of my physicians have been like triathletes and things like that. So
yeah, fuck those guys. But anyways, but so that was my thing though. Is like they're all my guys weren't very good, and so I felt bad because like Amy's doing all of this shit to her body, and so she went for the Hail Mary, and I was like, fuck, that's like the last ditch effort. So it worked, and then she wanted to have another one. And
so y'all went through all the like Clomid and did all of that.
Yeah, I did Clomid. We all did Clomid. I was handing Clomid out.
Snorting Clomid.
I was spiking people's coffee with Clomid. Everybody had Clomid in my house.
Tiger penis. We tried it all.
Right? shark fin, ground up shark fin, bald eagle beak, like all that stuff.
Did y'all get all the advice from all the well-meaning friends?
No.
We
ignored that shit.
So I was, you know, we went through in vitro while I was going through cancer treatment.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my story, how that started was, is I had a cancer diagnosis and I had to bank before I underwent radiation. And so that's how it's kind of started us in vitro process. I really wasn't able to do any of the other things.
Yeah.
Turkey baster, Clomid, that sort of thing was kind of off the table for us. So we had to go straight into in vitro.
Wow. So on the second time around, I told Amy, like, she wanted to have another kid. And I was like, you know, the money wasn't so much the problem because, like, we got a really sweet deal with the IVF. I finagled a pretty good deal, but...
You could negotiate that?
Yeah, so when we did it, they offered us, you pay for 3 transfers and we guarantee you a baby. And I'm like, you're fucking
So
on,
would they have
doctor.
Done another...
Yeah, so they
would
so
have done 30,000, another egg retrieval?
Yeah, so they $30,000... And they give you 3 egg retrievals and 3 transfers, or 6 transfers.
Oh, wow. 30?
Yeah, 30 grand. Right, because each one's about 10 grand a pop. And you had to pay for the medicine out of pocket, right? Which you even told me, like, oh, you get it from Israel or whatever else.
So we were actually able to get some of the medication on insurance.
Yeah.
But that was the cheap shit, right? The meals.
Well, so, like, I'm not going to lie. So the other thing, too, the fucking medicine's a racket, too. Because 2 different Walgreens, one, like, in her doctor's office building... was like 10 times more expensive than the same medication at the one downtown, where it's like another IVF doctors. So the same Follistim or whatever, $1,100 at one, $100 at another.
We bought all ours mail order.
I know. You talk, and the first time, the first time out, that's what we did too. We did mail order. But anyways, so it was $30,000. You pay up front, and then they guarantee you baby. So we did the first extraction and transfer, nothing. We did the second one, and it didn't work. And then the insurance company said, we want out. And we'll, or the company that offered the that thing, they're like, we want out of the deal. We're going to give you all your money back. You have $30,000 back. I'm like, right on. And the doctor's like, listen, I know we can do this. So how about you do another transfer? You pay half, I pay half. And so for $5,000, we had Emma.
You see, you took the three, the 30.
I got the 30 back. So I paid $30,000 for a guaranteed baby.
And you worked a side deal with the doctor.
No, and then the company, that it wasn't like a health insurance company. It was like a gambling company, whatever. It was like the mob, probably.
Lloyd's of London.
Yeah, Lloyd's of London. Yeah, yeah. They wanted out after the second time didn't work. They're like, you know what? If it didn't work two times, which is devastating for Amy, right? Because like if it didn't work two times, it's not going to work the third. So like, here's your $30,000 back. And so I'm like, what? So, all right, we're going to get $30,000 back. And then the IVF doctor's like, listen, I think we can do this. I'll do this one for half price. I'm like, which tells me the fucking price is bullshit anyways. But anyways, so we did three extractions and a total of four transfers. And so on the fourth transfer, we got Emma. But after all of that, I didn't want to go back and do all that again. Not that I didn't want to. I didn't want Amy to have to go through that, because I'm sure there was one that was a miscarriage because it was close.
There's some real dangers with the follicle stimulating hormones that they take. So,
and I wasn't even thinking. I was just thinking like I didn't like it was just a lot, a big emotional toll on Amy. Like it just, and so I told Amy, I said, I'll tell you what, like we jumped like me trying to fix my shit. So how about this time around, I'll do whatever I need to do. And so I went to a urologist, and man, they got all up in my nuts. And so I had what's called a varicocelectomy. Do you know what that is? They remove veins from your balls.
Man, that does not sound comfortable.
You were visiting when that happened, actually. I think that was one of the last times you were in this house. I was recovering from that, and Amy was pissed because I was making a big deal about my nuts. Anyways, so they did a biopsy to make sure that the boys were okay, and then essentially they just remove
extra veins. They biopsied your testicles, both of them.
Both, and they
I thought that was like a dangerous to be jabbing needles into.
It fucking hurt so bad. My nuts were the size of two softballs. Like and
each one?
Each one. It was so painful. Like I had to sit with like V legs open. It was like, and it the sutures would come open. It was fucking unbearable. It was so fucking painful. And Amy didn't want to hear shit about that. Oh, try giving birth. Oh. It was fucking painful.
So this was after him.
This was after him. We wanted to have a second kid.
And trying to do this one on the cheap.
Yeah. It's not even the cheap. You said that, not me. No, it wasn't. I want to be cheap. I didn't want Amy to have to go through all of that. Because I'm sitting there. All I had to do is, you know, inject Amy in the ass with the fucking progesterone and then come in a cup. Like, that's all I had to do. Like, it seemed awfully.
That's work.
Yeah, it seemed awfully unfair.
Equitable to me.
It seemed awfully unfair that Amy's like her emotions and her hormones and everything are getting jacked with, and all I'm doing is like bitching because I got to stab her in the butt with a needle, and like I get queasy because I see blood or whatever. Like, so I was being a good supportive husband. I said I'll do the surgery. I'll do whatever the urologist says, and so I did that, and it worked, and all my numbers came back badass. And then, of course, they put me on Clomid. So being, you know, Clomid to address the testosterone, and then with that surgery, I was like rocking and rolling. But it still didn't quite work out. You know, we tried it a couple times. I even did acupuncture, which I think is bullshit. Or at least I thought it was bullshit. But like, you go in this room, and like the lady asks you a bunch of questions, and like, of course they assume you're in there because you're fat again. They're like, oh, are you trying to lose weight? And they're like, no, for fertility. God damn it. It's for fertility. Oh, well, you need to lose weight too.
Have you tried losing weight?
have you tried going on a diet? Maybe you don't eat so much and then maybe your testicles will be better. But anyway, so I started doing that. And I remember telling the urologist, like, yeah, no, it's all great. And then everything, I'm glad the numbers came out good. And I'm going to do acupuncture. And he just kind of scratches his head like, oh, huh. Eastern medicine, huh? You're like, they're not going to stick you in the balls, are they? Like,
this is the urologist asking you?
Yeah, like, I don't think so.
If that's
like,
what it takes.
And he's like, well, just don't spend too much. I go, do you not think it's a good idea? He's like, nah, you know, just don't spend too much. That was his guidance.
From his mouth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that bills out at $5,000 an hour.
Yeah. Like, and I'm going to spend $80.
Your money on that. You need that money for copay. Yeah.
So I go do this acupuncture, and I'm not going to lie, like the first day I did it, you go in this room and, you know, she asks you all the questions and you lay on the bed, you kind of like open your shirt to expose your belly and you kind of, and you take your shoes and socks off. And like Amy told me, she's like, look, at the very least, you're going to go take a nap in this office for 30 minutes. Like that's all that's going to happen. You don't feel the needles. Of course I felt them, but like they go do that and they put the needles all over in your stomach and between your toes. Like on your legs, and they put one right on the crown of your head, and that one would fucking hurt. Like I was like, oh, I can feel that one. That one's right, like the needle would like touch the skull. I'm like, oh, that one really hurt. But you know, the first day I did it, that night or whatever, if you want to, like, I definitely felt something different. Like I don't know if it was like it felt like. Like if you were to stick an old rag in a muffler and a tailpipe of a car and let the car run and then eventually the rag would just pop out, right? That's what it felt like. Of course, I have no bearing, but that's what if my penis was like a muffler, that's what that would feel like. And I don't know how, and I still think it's bullshit, but maybe it's all
in
my head.
Is that your only sample? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I did it once. And it only happened once. And nothing worked. I mean, we still didn't have a second kid. But
it was memorable for you.
It was memorable. And you know what? Like, again, I tried and I knew that the IVF, man, that was just. And the thing is, I have friends that are going through it now. And I'm like, man, it's. You just got to, like, to the guy, you got to just, whatever she wants, just say yes and be supportive. Because she's gonna like all this is all her. Like you're not gonna do anything.
Yeah, it was horrific for my wife.
Yeah.
I mean the only saving grace I had was that I had just gone through cancer treatment, so I was still feeling sorry for myself for that. So
you had testicular cancer, right?
That's right.
And so how was that? Was that scary? Did it run in your family?
No, you know, they say there's really not much of a genetic component to it. But it is definitely a cancer that affects younger adults. So at the time I was 29.
Can it spread?
Yeah. So that's the risk with it is that it can go beyond the primary tumor. But the type that I had wasn't terribly aggressive.
And did you catch it in time? How did you catch it?
It all goes back to infertility. So that's how I found out. Is that I went in for fertility testing and my numbers were less than superhero.
Yeah.
So I went to the urologist to try to get an explanation and to see.
And he actually did some medical tests, just assumes because you were fat.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, you got cancer because you're fat. No, honestly, it was there was a lump on one of my testicles that I should have caught.
Really?
Yeah. And it
Did you after you pointed it out, did you see
it? Yeah, it was just like a hard little bump on the back of it. It's like the size of a pea. But it was there and I should have caught it myself.
Wow.
So and ironically, I just had a physical exam where my doctor missed it too. So,
no way.
Yeah, yeah.
You did the turn and cough and he didn't catch it?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't catch it.
See, that's what scares the shit out of me because I do an annual physical, I do all of that. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm expecting all that to be like magic. Like what do you mean I've got herpes? Like, you should have caught that in the physical. I was like, we're not checking for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I kind of like, again, it's back to the whole, you know, the medicine and the health, my health records, and my bank account. Like, it's out of sight, out of mind. And I just know that if I go to the doctor and, like I said, they do blood work, I'm like, you're supposed to catch everything. And yeah, that's just not the reality. Yeah. Obviously with you, it wasn't the reality.
Yeah, no, I mean, it worked out for the best for me. It was very fortuitous that
you're trying to have a kid at the same time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was bad luck that we couldn't have a kid, but kind of good luck that as a result, I caught a cancer early.
Yeah. And, so let me ask you a question. So your wife is a psychiatrist or psychologist? What's the official title?
She is a counselor. So she has a master's in counseling.
Yeah.
And she's an LPC.
Okay. What is that LPC?
Licensed practicing counselor.
So a counselor, and is that like specializing in just young adults, children? Is there a difference?
So, I mean, there's no specialty in the certification.
Yeah.
She's always worked with children.
Yeah.
Both in the hospital setting and in her private practice.
Do you notice that she's better at dealing with, like, trying to, not necessarily discipline, but just, like, with your daughter as far as, like...
Oh, absolutely not.
No?
No.
Does she lose her patience?
I don't think she's... I think she's aware. I think as we all are, as we all should be, we're aware, you know, the buttons that get pushed.
Yeah.
But I think we're so hardwired to be the way we are that, you know, she'll lose her shit. You know, it just as much as anybody else.
Well, you know, so I think Amy's phenomenal at dealing with, like, Emma on that level of, like, recognizing, like, when Emma's acting out, what that means and, like, how to address that and, like, you know, but Amy definitely loses her patience like everybody else. She's human, but she knows when Emma's throwing a tantrum, like, she's going to fucking cry. Like, that's what's going to happen. She's going to sit on the floor and pout and cry. And then in about 5 minutes, she's going to need a hug and then we're going to be fine. But, like, Amy's good at that. Me, with my upbringing, like, it was terrible. Oh, absolutely terrible. The just the stark differences, you know. Plus, I was a third child, so my parents were just fucking exhausted. They're like, fuck it. Like, this, you know, unless I was really, really bad, I got away with a lot of shit. And unless my dad was trying to give me a lecture, if he was trying to, like, pontificate and teach me something, and if I'd fall asleep, I'd catch a beating. Or he would throw things at me.
You just straight fell asleep mid-lecture?
Oh, yeah. That happened. One time, I fell asleep on a recliner, he threw a Blockbuster video at me, like the VHS cassette. Through that
a few more years, nobody will know what the hell that was.
No, so you see, kids, VHS, I don't even know what the hell VHS stands for. Video Hardware Solutions, I don't know. Anyways, but it would be this tape, this cassette tape, I don't know, 4 inches by 8 inches by 1 inch thick, and it had this ribbon, this black ribbon called tape inside, and it weighed about 8 to 10 ounces, and you used to, they put movies on them before you could download them. And you could rent these movies from stores called Blockbuster or other ones. And so, yeah, no, he would throw that at me. One time, I was in marching band. I don't know if I told this story. I have all this shit. I got to write down what I talk about in this podcast. So I was in the marching band in high school. And one day, my dad picked me up from it was a game. It was a football game. And I was exhausted. I was just fucking exhausted. And I'm in my uniform. And he wanted to stop at this, like, very... inexpensive grocery store that he used to love going to in McAllen, and it was where he would buy wine. It's kind of like Trader Joe's. Like, nowadays we have Trader Joe's. Have you been to Trader Joe's?
Yes.
Oh, the wine selection is phenomenal there. It's very inexpensive and very good.
Is that where you get the two-buck chuck?
Yeah, yeah. Two-buck chuck's okay, but there's some really good wines that, like, I remember someone was telling me that Freak Show was being sold there for $5.
Is this like off-label stuff? Or is it...
Some of the stuff is off-label. All right, so the way it works is, like, let's say a winery, like, I don't know, Duckhorn, has a harvest 1 year, and they have a shitload of wine. They end up with 25% more than their last year's supply. They're not going to bring 125% to market because it'll just... fuck the price up, right? It'll drive the price down because there'll be too much supply. So they'll sell that extra 25% to another labeler, and a lot of times Trader Joe's will buy it, and they just relabel it as a Trader Joe's Napa Reserve, but it's really like Duckhorn or something like that. So the two-buck chuck is pretty shitty, but, like, some of the other stuff, it's just relabeled Duckhorn or whatever good popular winery. If they have a good year, that's what they have. And so, like, you could spend $30 with the real label, or you can spend, like, $9 for Trader Joe's. Pretty interesting, right? And also, Trader Joe's, you work for a German company. Trader Joe's in Europe goes under the name Aldi Nord. Have you seen those Aldi grocery stores?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so Aldi Nord and Aldi are split, but they one company at one time. It's the biggest grocery store chain in the world. And or like one of, I shouldn't say that, I know everything, but anyways, Aldi Nord goes under Trader Joe's in the United States. It's an Aldi. That's why it's so inexpensive, that model.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Riveting, riveting conversation here.
I hear they get crackers, chips.
Yeah, peanut butter cups. Amy liked the peanut butter cups.
So anyway, we don't shop there too much.
I'm making the shift from HEB because I spend way too much fucking money at HEB. I spend way too much. All right, so anyways, what the fuck was I talking about? Where was I? I can't rewind this shit. God damn it. Where the fuck were we getting old?
We were talking about falling asleep and getting hit with
VHS. So I was,
so
my
coming
dad was,
back at the...
Yeah, so I'm coming back from a football game, and I'm in my band uniform, my marching band uniform, and my dad was lecturing me about like metallurgy or something like that, which normally I would be wide awake for, but you know, on a Friday night at 11 p.m. I'm just exhausted, so I'm falling asleep, and I fell asleep in the car, and my dad got pissed, fucking pissed.
Just straight snoring in the back seat.
Back seat was a Mazda RX-7, 1984 Mazda RX-7.
You fit in the back of one of those?
Yeah, no, not in the back. I was in the passenger seat. Oh. He hits the brakes, opens the door, kicks me out, and takes off.
In your band uniform.
In my band uniform, I had to walk home. Yep.
Wow.
So that's the kind of shit I had to deal with as a kid. And like, I see Emmy, you know, Amy dealing with Emma and just a lot more, like she's got a lot more tools on how to deal with Emma and that sort of things.
My wife definitely, she knows how, but it doesn't keep her from occasionally losing her shit.
Yeah. Right. Well, like again, Amy loses her shit, but she definitely has a much better toolkit in dealing with it than I do.
For sure.
Because I definitely don't have the experience or the knowledge, or I don't have any of that stuff. And to be honest with you, like we really don't have any excuse why we shouldn't. We have one kid, right? It's not like there's three of her, right? There's just one kid. We should be able to handle it. But God damn it, man. Son of a bitch.
I'm glad I just have one.
Yes.
I am not that good a parent.
Yeah,
it's clear to me that.
Yeah, I would definitely neglect a second. I would lose a third. Fucking third, I would lose it. Him or her, whoever.
Yeah. I mean, I see people who have three kids, and I see how that third kid is.
You're looking at one. You're doing a podcast with one of them.
Right. I mean, like 50-50 chance that they actually remember the name of the third kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's often
and
similar.
And you may have to get through two or three different names before they land on the right one.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter too. They yell at one and they yell at all. What I see is I see coworkers that have three kids that are like close in age, like Irish twins, and they'll dress them the same. So like when they go to birthday parties, they can identify them. Like you, 1, 2, 3, let's go. But anyways, it's exhausting, and you know, it's amazing all the things that I can accomplish. I can play musical instruments. I can do all this. I can get this podcast finished today and put on published in like less than 20 minutes. Like I'm really good at certain.
It's a lot of content to delete tonight.
Oh, I don't edit anymore.
That's no.
Season two, that, there's no editing. All that dead air from the beginning, that's all going right up in there. There's just you and I staring at each other uncomfortably. That is all going in this thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, I can't get my daughter to wear fucking pants. Like, I can't get her to put pants on in the morning.
I'm not a big fan of wearing pants in general.
Well, I can't get her to get dressed. I can't get her from pajamas to clothes to go to school. Like,
I can't even get my daughter out of bed.
Really?
She won't even.
Really?
I mean, and she's a middle schooler, right? So, I mean, she's got a full vocabulary now. Some of which I may or may not be responsible for.
Has she told you to fuck off, Dad, yet?
Not those exact words.
But like, leave me alone, or just very pointed.
Yeah. I mean, there's she has some profanity in her vocabulary. There's a few words that we still don't allow.
Yeah.
But middle schooler. I mean, the upside is that, you know, she can be left alone.
Yeah.
The downside is she wants to be alone all the time.
So again, you know, we're sitting there like, you know, at least we're still the cool parents. It's not like leave me alone, mommy. Like we're still kind of cool, but yeah, I mean, we're waiting for the, Amy keeps joking, we're waiting for that phone call from the daycare, like, Mrs. Sanchez, we were aware that Emma had an older sibling in the house. You know, like, why do you say that? She has a pretty advanced vocabulary, and she might have said, like, we try not to cuss. Amy and I try not to cuss. But when we get mad, you know, occasionally an F word will fall out, or, you know, a lot of shits we say. And, you know, Emma's 4 and a half, and so she's a sponge. I mean, she's learning.
Have they come back to you yet? I mean, as the...
No, she has not. No, she's not repeated any profanity. No. And I'm sure that'll change eventually. But you know what's funny? Amy, it's really funny. Amy's mom was she did not censor anything. Movies she did, but books, it didn't matter what book it was. She let Amy read any book she wanted from the minute she could read, like Stephen King, It, all of those. She did not censor any books for Amy. And I kind of admire that. I think that's pretty interesting.
I try not to. So, I mean, we'll let her read above her age. So she's seventh grader.
Yeah.
So she wants to read into that. She's been interested in some more.
Like the young adult stuff?
Well, no, I mean, she's interested in Stephen King. So
scary stuff.
We've kind of kept her away from it a little bit, give her a little bit of time.
Seventh grade's a little young for that.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's kind of in that transitional age.
But you're keeping me away from that because it's scary as shit, though. Or is it the profanity?
I don't think the profanity's the problem. I don't know that she has an understanding of context well enough. So I think some of that stuff comes with some explanation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of wondering, you know, what's appropriate from a sexual content standpoint.
Yeah.
And the violence. So she's, you know, obviously already exposed to a lot of violence with, you know, television.
So does she have a phone yet?
Yeah, I mean,
you got to be able to know where she is when you got to pick her up, right?
So the phone issue kind of came out of convenience for us.
Yeah, you're gonna go pick her up. Like, let me know when you're ready.
Yeah. So
the practical,
you know,
thing.
She was starting to go hang out at her friend's house, mm-hmm. and you know, we wanted her to have means to get a hold of us, and we wanted to be
right.
But that phone has turned into probably more arguments than anything else.
Oh, really? In what regard?
Well, it's just the time on it. You know, everybody talks about how these kids are just constantly on their phone, and it's a fact.
Yeah.
And we are too, right? So we're definitely guilty about the amount of screen time.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it is absolutely a drug for them. And they get addicted to being connected. But the funny thing is like with our daughter, the stuff that she goes online for is...
Do you monitor what she goes online
for? We do.
Yeah, how do you do that?
I mean, most of it's just kind of...
I'm just asking to make sure that Amy's not monitoring what
right. Clear that browser history.
Browser history?
So it looks like you...
Dark web.
It looks like you've been on nothing all day.
Yeah. how do you monitor what your daughter's doing? Because I was thinking about that today, too.
So like, most of it's after the fact. And the fact that she has browser history is, I mean, I get an honest, you know, I feel like we get pretty honest feedback. But the stuff that she goes... and spends hours on is just stupid stuff.
Is it like YouTube videos of cats?
It's worse. I mean, well, I say worse, but she's big into writing now, and she'll sit on her phone and just write on her phone or her tablet.
Really?
Yeah, and she writes fiction. So she's into fan fiction as her thing.
What is fan fiction
so
mean?
So it's just people writing stories and short stories about other, like, movies or other things. So it's their own little spin on
it. So she's creative, though.
She's very creative.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
She's definitely...
But she likes to write on her phone?
Yeah, it's...
Why is that?
That's her medium for it. So she journals. I mean, she
on writes, her phone?
Well, everywhere. I mean, internet. She has a journal that she writes with
pen and ink. I'm at a point where I can type faster than I can handwrite.
For sure.
Yeah. That's a new thing. That's a relatively new thing. And we win a bet most kids going forward... Handwrite? What is that?
She still handwrites.
Yeah.
She doesn't share much though. That's the...
Oh, so really?
She really just writes for herself.
Oh, that's cool too.
She doesn't show. So she started to get into drama and at school. And
that'd be really cool, man. You could tell her to write you like a screenplay or something.
Yeah, but she doesn't share.
So yeah, but you can ask her, like, she just be, for this
she
one
be writing
exercise,
her, like, manifesto or something, and I would I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't know what to.
I would have a lot of fun with that. I would love it if Emma did something like that, because that is super creative and something you can do anywhere. Like, you're going on a road trip, or you're going on a flying on a plane. You don't need electricity. Like, you need light, and you can create.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's like, very low maintenance.
A pad and paper, and like that's super cool. And that kind of interest is like, talk about paying dividends in the long run. Like I said, you can do that anywhere, and then find a way to get paid as a writer, as a columnist, or something like that. You can do that anywhere. You don't have to go work in an office building. You know, you can. You know, I don't. You're looking at me like I'm putting ideas in your daughter's head, but like. It's a really cool.
Let's go back to the in vitro.
Oh,
yeah. She has to do something phenomenal.
Yeah. Writing a few
we're
hundred.
We're talking $30,000 price tag, yeah. just on her existence.
That, yeah, writing a couple of columns for, yeah, Esquire magazine, exactly. Ain't gonna cut it. All right, so yeah, I know the book thing though. I wasn't much of a reader, obviously. So, you know, it...
You weren't?
It, no.
Why is that obvious?
I don't talk good. I can't spell for shit. Like, you know what Amy did? Like, I've got that chalkboard right there where I have... Like, she would come in and she would correct my misspelling by writing doing with a red chalk, the squiggly line like you get on Word when you misspell a word. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Marriage. Gotta love it. So, anyways, no, it's where the fuck was I going? Goddamn brain farts again.
Artists, creative,
good stuff. The reading. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, obviously you'd want to filter a little bit just because, like, I can't imagine, like, you know, telling Emma a bedtime story about, what was the clown from It? What was his name?
I don't know. Clowns are not okay.
No, right. No, clowns. There's nothing good.
Hang out in gutters with balloons.
Yeah, balloons. Sailboats made out of newspaper. What is a sailboat out of a folded newspaper? Yeah, I don't know about giving Emma something like that to read. I think that would just be way too much. But at the same time, like, Emma loves reading, and it's a really cool thing. And like, ADD, I think, runs rampant in my family. And I think, like, we all went undiagnosed. And, like, the phones... Like, and Amy catches me sometimes, and I'll be looking at my phone in Emma's, you know, in Emma's room. And we try not to have our phones with us when we're, like, if we're in Emma's room playing, whatever, getting ready for bed, we try and keep it somewhat phone free, because even for me, it's like that fucking dopamine drip. Like, I want to look at my phone, make sure, oh, did I miss something? Did my boss text me some bullshit useless thing? Like, no, I always want to be, but it's so fucking addicting. And I can only imagine if I had something that was that stimulating when I was 12, oh, I would never want to put it down.
Yeah, you setting boundaries, you know, with those sorts of things is important. And I think we drop the ball, certainly. It's convenient, you know, as parents and as adults, it's definitely convenient at times to have your child occupied, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely the lazy parenting at some point, you know, where you're like, Here, watch another movie.
Yeah, the babysitter. You said that to me that one day on the phone. I felt so guilty. Like, oh, yeah, I'm putting a cartoon on for Emma. And you're like, ah, you old Saturday morning babysitter. Like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Terrible. I mean, it's we were the cartoon generation.
Yeah.
You know, so we grew up with that too.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Sure, I'm sure there was some guilty pleasure with our parents too. Like,
Oh my God. Fucking Sesame Street. The whole time we're trying for a second one, thanks for Sesame Street, you know? I can't. Every time I hear that jingle come on, I'm like, oh! Let's go, babe.
Wow. Pavlov's dog.
I don't want... Amy and I made an agreement. We were never going to let Emma know. That's what Sesame Street was. Anyway, so anyways, no, I, you know, I don't know. I never thought, cause I'm still a child at heart. I never thought I'd be this much of an adult. And I even still, like, without Amy, I'm not that much of an adult. I'm still, I'm still very, very childish. I'm from a mental standpoint, I'm like 2 weeks older than Emma. Like she's gonna pass me in about 2 years.
I'm more big brother to my daughter than I am parental figure, and that's gonna be frustrating for my wife a lot. But I absolutely do. I mean, we're...
yeah. So is your wife the enforcer, and you're like, yeah, no. Do what mom says.
I mean, who are we kidding? I mean, neither one of us are really the enforcer. I mean, if we're being honest, I mean,
well, probably
we don't have the
really
we don't
it.
Have the tools in the toolbox that our parents had, right? So
such like, as.
Physical
the
violence.
Belts, right? Yeah. Goddamn the CPA.
The wooden
law.
Spoon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the wooden spoon or the clothes hanger.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't have that, and that's probably for the best. Right?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
And so we have to use words.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, Olivia is clearly, our daughter's clearly aware that.
Yeah. Testing boundaries.
Oh, she knows. I mean, she doesn't, and she's a good sport about it. Because she doesn't come right out and say, but she absolutely knows.
So if the end result is she behaves slightly better and she's aware, like she's more mentally aware of all those things, so she's essentially smarter as a process, it's still a win-win, right? Like, you know, because the whole, like I got slapped and spanked, and I'm not going to for 1 minute think that I came away scot-free without any psychological damage from that. Like, there's absolutely no reason to hit, well... You know, people raise their kids differently, but I just don't think there's any, in my opinion, hitting Emma would do nothing. It's like my dog.
Yeah.
Hitting my dog would do nothing. It would just, all it would do is teach my dog that, like, oh, this is what we're doing now. It escalates the...
Yeah. I mean, we know that now, yeah. Though. I mean, and I think that, you know, striking a kid, right, is really about your frustration and not about poor behavior.
Right.
It's more about how you feel about their behavior than it is about the behavior itself.
So how does that translate to work and wanting to hit a coworker?
I can't say that I've ever wanted to hit a coworker.
I would like
somebody else to have hit the coworker. A bus or something.
I would wish this person no longer be breathed. No, that's terrible.
No, I believe in karma. You know.
So I have four kids. So no, yeah, I'm a big proponent of the positive reinforcement because,
yeah.
I mean, like with my dog, it's just she does a lot better if you set her up for success and then like you reward her with something positive and she's going to do what you want. You don't go to work to avoid getting beaten. You go to work to get paid. And we even did an experiment when I was in one of my old bands. We had a drummer that was always forgetting shit, or he'd forget that we have gigs. And so, like, you know, James Brown was famous for fining his band for fucking up. Amy's like, why don't you just offer him, like, a dime bag? You know, like, hey, if you make it on time to the gig, we're all going to chip in and get you a dime bag of weed. And, like, all of a sudden, like, man, he was there early, set up, ready to go. It's just evident that it works. So, you know, I mean, granted, yeah. This is 7 years ago, so it's pre-statute of limitations, so we're good there.
Right on. It's not legal again?
Yeah, it is legal now. It is legal now. No, in Houston, it's decriminalized. You can't get arrested for it. Well, Brian, I think we've covered a lot, man. I don't know. Is there anything else on your mind? There's
no.
Really no. There's no like up and down. There's no like third act.
Can ramble.
Yeah.
It's two guys with ADD sitting down, covering a few topics.
Yeah, we go full circle yet.
Yeah. Be all over the place.
Yeah, the ADD's the ADD's bad. I went and I was seeing somebody about it. They're like, you know, if you lost a little bit of weight, maybe it would help. I keep forgetting, like, did I eat dessert yet? I don't think I had dessert. Anyways, well, all right. Well, thank you very much. What did you think? Did you have fun?
Yeah, no.
Do this again?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So appreciate it. So thank you, everybody, and we'll wrap it up. Good.